Welcome to another edition of the Dementia Care Partner Talk Show. Now, here's dementia care expert Tifa Snow and your host, Greg Phelps.
Want to know what Tifa's dream is? Help us reach 30K in 30 days for Tifa's nonprofit Snow Approach Foundation, located in Hillsboro, North Carolina. Visit GoFundMe.com and search for Snow Approach, or go to tifasnow.info/30days.
This podcast is brought to you by Tover, the creators of the Tover Tobble. The Tover Tobble promotes more joyful social connections for seniors living with dementia through its wide range of interactive games. Developed with seniors and care professionals, Tover Tobble's games are designed to suit different stages of dementia and times of day. Discover more about the Tover Tobble and the power of purposeful play at www.tover.care/US.
Hello and welcome to Tifa Snow's Dementia Care Partners podcast. I'm your host, Greg Phelps, and to start our program off today, Tifa, I'd like to send out a big thank you to Valerie for her latest survey for topics for our program. She had over 170 responses, which is pretty phenomenal. So if we don't get to your question today, which is pretty likely, please be patient. Our first one comes as tips from a person living with dementia. And this will sound very familiar to you. No intros, no long stories, no complex sentences, no interrupting us, but we can interrupt regulars at any point. Please don't ask if I remember. Don't ask me about unimportant stuff. Don't ask me to rehire my assistant who researches my files for memories. What did you do today? If multiple conversations are going on, that's fine, but you'll see me putting on my headphones. Speak at a pace that doesn't sound like the cops are chasing you. Child talk, and I'll fake that I don't know you. Be funny, maudlin stuff, and you'll be escorted out. So this, it's very thoughtful, and I can see all of those.
Yeah, that came from a really good friend, Dixon, Dallas Dixon. And he really, I mean, he's a really cool guy in that he used to be a very top-notch legal lawyer, go after him kind of guy. And with the advent of his dementia, he's come to live life differently. And yeah, but true to form, I mean, he's going to give you, read you the riot act of what you should be doing. But I mean, he's accurate. I mean, the kind of things he's suggesting are the kind of things we sort of recommend. But I mean, he's doing it from the perspective of actually living with his dementia and saying, you know, like, when you guys do like long stuff, I'm gone. So, you know, like wasting your time. Or, you know, don't you remember, which is one of our like big forbidden phrases. And, you know, like being sad, like if I'm not sad, why be sad? I don't need you to mourn me or grieve me. I'm right here. Like, if you want to do that, go away and go do it. And, you know, let's have some fun if we can. And, you know, let's be respectful, you know, sort of bottom line.
Well, could we examine a couple of these ones? Because he says definitely no long stories. And then please don't ask me about unimportant stuff. So let's combine those two. Do we as North Americans tend to ramble too much when we're telling, like I'm doing right now?
So, Greg, you're wanting to know if I go on and on and on and I give you this and then I give you that and then I share this and I say all that, is it going to make you more likely to want to be in conversation with me, or am I lecturing you?
Well, there are those people that you carefully extract yourself from any group conversation with. And so is that what he's sort of getting at? Just, you know.
Yeah. So it's much more comfortable to do short back and forths than it is to listen to someone and try to, you know, follow their theme, follow their phrasing, follow their message, follow the storyline. Because, you know, one of the challenges, at least for many people living with dementia, is holding on to what was just said three sentences before you said this, so that I would be able to respond to you, like what I just did, way too many at a time. So I said, hey, Greg, I have a question for you. When I went to school, we had blackboards. And you?
Yes.
Yeah, you too. You had blackboards too? So
they were green. That's
they were green. Oh. Green. Huh. No, ours were black. Ours were definitely black. Huh. Now, when we wrote on them, you used was it chalk or something else?
I'm pretty sure it was chalk. I was just thinking back. We didn't have slates. That was even before me.
That was before. Yeah. But I do remember like yellow and white chalk. Does that sound familiar?
I remember white. I don't remember other colors. White.
I think I remember yellow. You know what I do remember? There was this holder that had five things where you could make, I think it was five or maybe three, where you could make the lines across. And then for musical, for putting up music, I think I remember that.
So you're taking a conversation and sort of not trying to cram everything into once, because my mind is not going to process all of that. Like if you rambled that all together, I think his exact words were, you'll see me putting on headphones or speak at a pace that sounds like the cops are chasing you and I'll fake that I don't know you. He could have any one of a number
exactly.
of excuses to avoid.
Yeah. And it wouldn't really be a conversation. It'd be a one-way ticket. And what he's saying is out the door. So if I do want to engage you, when I started, you were really pretty slow and minimal to respond, but that didn't mean you weren't paying attention. It meant that assistant he talked about, he doesn't have her anymore, that research assistant that would go look in the files and everything. So he was having to go find files and look at them. And so where I said, I think it was black or gray. And you said, green. That was just a single word, but that told me everything. Like, yeah, we were in conversation. We were actually, and what it meant was, wow, Tipa, you got to keep it slow and you may need to use visual cues in addition to what you're doing. I mean, it may not be. And if you have background noise, that may be disruptive, you know.
Background noise in a facility? Come on. What are you talking about?
No, what are you talking about? Overhead speaking. That kind of thing can really disrupt what's happening. And I may have to pause. I may have to wait. And I may have to make accommodation. Because if my goal is to have a conversation, then I better check on my partner and see whether they're with me or they're not.
So what he said was very sort of standard to us. We understand the reasoning behind this. The one that he missed that I see quite often myself and you've seen is where people are talking over the person living with dementia. Inanimate object, you know, sitting there. And so I'm surprised that one wasn't on his list. But then, you know, his assistant didn't put it on the list.
Yeah, or I might say Greg would immediately tune you out or leave. Not Greg, Dallas. Dallas would probably tune you out or leave. Greg would too. That's the reality. I'm just like, yeah, Greg would do the same thing. So I think, you know, that might have been a subset under something. Whereas for you and I, it's like, ooh, this is unacceptable. For many people living with, it's such a part of life that you don't even notice it anymore, which is a sad commentary from my perspective. But you know, like, well, yeah, you expect that. And it's like, so having that conversation, be putting my headphones on, that's how I deal with you. And it's like, yikes, because that says you're not part of our community anymore, really.
I think I've heard you say, know your person before, haven't I? Because some people, you can walk them in and there's a birthday party and they can mingle with other people. And it's quite clear here that unless he's engaging with one person one-on-one at a comfortable pace, it's just not going to go well.
Yeah. And I think, you know, could that be a little bit of Greg's history? Greg's, Tipa, what have you got on your mind? Could it be a bit of Dallas's history of being a lawyer, of getting people's attention and having not really a conversation? He delivered information, but when he was doing a cross-examination or he was talking to a witness, it was one-on-one and it was really intense. So for him, being social and doing chit chat and that kind of crap, that's what he said. Don't do that to me. I don't do it. And it's like, as long as I've known Dallas, I don't think he's ever done that. So I don't think it's new. I think that's just Dallas. But now with a little extra sauce there. So he's a little saucier about it. And, like 8 years ago, I don't think he would have written that. I think he's gotten far enough along in where he's living to say, here's the deal. If you want to do this, here's what it looks like. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. But don't expect me to be there,
That's the underlying lawyer. He's going to prepare a brief. Here it is. Live with it or don't. That's my offer.
That's right. And I'm not the judge of you. If that's what you want to do, the judge will tell you I'm out. As a participant, I'm either in or I'm out. Did you want me to participate or were you just assuming I would participate? Don't make an assumption. Assess the situation and decide, am I in or am I out? And if you're out, fine. So am I.
So Tipa, you do so many things naturally that people sort of go, well, how can I learn that? Because you wouldn't think that you would necessarily have to be told how to have conversations with your loved one or loved ones. You wouldn't think that, but apparently we do.
Apparently it helps. Apparently lots of people need some skill building. They need awareness of why. Many people need to know why. Why is it you can't do that? Why is it that this is so frustrating? Why is Dallas coming up with this stuff? And the answer is, let me show you. Let's figure it out so that you operate with awareness and knowledge and build your skill, because it's not something that you would automatically do. Evidently, it's not common practice. And that's why we can't count on being common sense. So that's why Dallas came up with this. But that's why we do champion courses. We do webinars. We have brief clips available online. We have consultants. We have people who train, because we know this isn't as easy as we might think it is to transform habits of a lifetime.
Tipa, thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg.
You've been listening to the Dementia Care Partners podcast, brought to you by Positive Approach to Care. For more information, look up tipasnow.com.